Welcome to The Christ Life. We're glad that you're joining us this week. You'll notice that I have someone different with me this week. Ryota Yogo is a missionary to the University of Texas Arlington. And I think that one of the great things about having Ryota with us this week is what you don't see is that Ryota's with us every week. It is normal for us. When we talk about The Christ Life, we believe wholeheartedly that the Christ life is intended to be lived not just one-on-one with us in Christ, but with others. And so we talk about what Christ is doing in our life. We talk about what Christ is doing through our life. We talk about what we believe Christ wants to do through our life. And because ultimately the Christ life is letting everyone know that Christ is alive and active in the world today and making himself known through Holy Spirit empowered believers as he ministers person to person. One of the things I love about the mission field that Ryota is in Chi Alpha Ministries, is it's not about a person being on a big stage and look at me and listen to me. It's about person to person ministering the love of Jesus Christ in very practical and real ways and powerful Holy Spirit ways that really draw people into an authentic growing relationship with Jesus Christ that doesn't move them across the line, but really helps them walk in a direction in life that goes not just far beyond the university. But because you're at University of Texas Arlington, they may not recognize that there's over 100 nations represented. So every person from another nation, some of them closed nations, that come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and walks with Christ, goes back to their world, back to their family, and walks out that same kind of life. And you might be wondering, and if you're not wondering, you should be wondering, how can I invest in this? I want to encourage you to invest in Chi Alpha Ministry. There's a link below that you can follow and you can give to that ministry because this is what they do full time. He has a team of people that have given up all the seeking after everything else that everybody else in the United States seems to go after for the express purpose of being able to share Jesus Christ to people in the university setting. And if you've been a believer in America for long, you've got to know that one of the greatest places in America that needs Jesus is our university. But you've been a part of us and going through Axios together. And so we challenge you to kind of go take this portion of scripture and go with it. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Pastor Rich. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's such a privilege to be a part of Bethel Church family and also be American University campuses. It's such a strategic mission field. And I feel privileged to serve college students on a daily basis. But it's crazy to think about because me as a native Japanese born and raised in a small town in Japan without having any access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now I'm serving as a campus missionary on American University campuses. And the reason is that because I met Jesus when I was in college campus through the community of young college students who are truly in love with Jesus. And I was just so amazed that the first time I met them, not only their love for Jesus, but also their love for each other. And that really got my attention and put the sense of wonder in me. In John 13, Jesus spoke this to his disciples, not just to the group of mere believers, but to his faithful disciples. He said, "By this, the world will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another." Jesus is saying here that the love that you have, not only for God, but really for each other, is the greatest witness to this watching world. And I got to experience that with my own life. And we've been looking at this Ephesians chapter 4 together through the lens of axios, the equal weights. And we must stand right with God, not only in his judgment, but also with each other in love as God's people. The ultimate desire of God for his church, to me, is to be this radiant church, as Paul described in this Ephesians letter later, that we are called to be a church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And that is what Paul teaches over and over again in his letter to Ephesians church. Now, in order for us as God's people, the church, to get there, we have a lot to walk on. And everybody in the body of Christ has to play a role. That is, to me, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we must speak the truth in love. So about this statement of Paul, the speaking the truth in love, I like to make it 3 points today. The first point is that, first of all, this statement of Paul speaking the truth in love, we must practice this as God's people for the sake of helping each other to grow and become mature in Christ. When we read and hear this word, speaking the truth in love, as Christians, we tend to apply it to whenever we have an opportunity to speak to people that are not living for God. And I believe there's some application and for such occasions. But first and foremost, when we read this portion of scripture, we must remember that the Paul is encouraging believers in Ephesians mm-hmm. church to practice this for helping each other to grow and become mature in Christ. So let me read from this portion of scripture from starting verse 11, just to get the big picture of why Paul is speaking to us to speak the truth in love. So starting reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he, Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets and evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. But rather," verse 15 says, "speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." So as I was drawn to Jesus in these lives of Christian friends that I met in college, eventually I made the decision to follow Christ. And in my heart. And then I expressed that to the group of my friends in this Christian community when I was in college. And one of my friends heard about this and came up to me and asked me if I have told my parents about my decision. And I said, no, not yet. I will do it later. But I wasn't really thinking about doing it quickly. And I followed by some explanation of why, but those all things are just excuses. I was just simply afraid of my parents' reaction, and I was putting this aside. But my friend, I believe that was from the Holy Spirit. He knew that I was coming from the culture that values community identity more than individual rights. He told me early on my walk with Jesus and pointed me to the scripture, the statement of Jesus in Luke 14, where Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship. Unless you forsake your mother and father and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. And that really stopped me, and it was such a shock in my heart. But looking back, I'm just so grateful that my friend knew this truth and shared this truth with me in such a way that I feel not pressured, but in a loving way. And I wasn't happy when I heard the first time the scriptures, but I now very, very happy, because in this moment, he cared about my future more than my feelings at this moment. So speaking the truth in love to me, it is basically saying that I care more about your future than your present feeling.
Yeah, I love how really that just describes that whole axios thing of, you know, knowing that the Lord loves me so much that I'm going to look at others and love them the same way he loved me. Because mm-hmm. Jesus says a lot of affirming, encouraging things, but he also says a lot of challenging things. He challenges us to a place of giving up and dying mm-hmm. To things. And someone loved you enough to do that. Mm-hmm. I know for me, one of my own children said to me at one point, you know, why is it that I have better relationships outside the church? And I liked how you really just brought out that this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the body of Christ, that for us to really become and move into the fullness of Christ and the full stature of Christ, we must be able to speak truth together in love. And that you can only do that if you're loved. Then you can love other people. And I think as we grow in that love, then they're able to love. And fortunately, I think it was providentially, the Lord made sure that you had someone in your life that really helped you move there.
That's right. The second point that I'd like to make is the command of Paul is to speak the truth in love, mm-hmm. not the truth without love, and the speak the love without the truth. So I've been happily married for 8 years with my wife. But of course, now and then we have some conflicts and between us. And my way of dealing with this conflict is always trying to find the core of the problems and try to get there as soon as possible and fix it. And to me, if the problem is fixed, I feel like my wife will be okay and our marriage will be okay again. But many of ladies out there probably thinking, no, that's not what we want. And exactly that's my wife is thinking right now. That it's even every time I try to fix the problem and just to get to the point without having the process of getting there, for some reason, the situation gets worse. And my wife never become happier. So to my wife, she feels that I only speak the truth in this case without love. And I have learned that this approach of solving the problem would not do anything good to her nor to us in marriage. But on the other hand, my wife's way of dealing with the conflict is if she sees something in me or between us, she usually just asks me to sit down over the cup of tea or something after all of our kids go to bed and just trying to talk to me by asking many, many questions. And it was the hope that somehow she thinks that I will reach the reason that why I made her disappointed or angry or mad. And just she's just so sweet that she's trying to confront me without telling the truth to me and exactly what the problem was, which there's nothing good to me nor to us between marriage. So in this case, my wife is just speaking the love without telling me the truth. And this also doesn't do anything good to me nor to us in marriage. So although love and laughter, I believe, plow the hard heart, the speaking only love without telling the truth will not reach the heart of any hearers. Yes, Christianity is a religion of love. And the word of God says that the God of the Bible is love. But by presenting only the love of God without mentioning that there is actually the wrath of God and his love, you are not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ at all to me. Yes, Jesus came as a savior of the world, but he must also reign as the Lord in our lives. And in Acts 2, Peter said that God made Jesus both savior and the Lord. So without the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, he actually not is the savior in our lives either. Yes, we are to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. But in this love, we must have the healthy, holy reverence toward God. As the wisdom book in the Bible says, to fear the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. So we must understand that in order for us to be truly rooted in Christ and become mature in Christ in a loving way, we must present the truth about God as well. In the same manner, however, speaking only the truth about God and his kingdom without mentioning the love of God also will not cut to the heart of the hearers. Yes, God is grieved by the wickedness of mankind, and sensing God's sorrow is a way to lead people to repentance. But the word of God also mentioned that the kindness of God also will lead someone to repent of their sins. And Apostle Paul said the terror of the Lord was a motivate to him to persuade the lost people around him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But later, he also mentioned that the love of Christ also is compelling him to do what he was called to do. So throughout the Bible, the holiness of God was mentioned more than the love of God. Yet the heart of the gospel to me and God's redemption story was and always will be the love that God has for all the mankind. And with this love, we are saved. And this God's love is the unchanging truth. And because of this love, we get to be saved and get to live life with Jesus and God again. And in God's kingdom, the truth about God and the love of God must be equally balanced, axios. Without one without the other is not true nor loving at all.
It's interesting, in the latter part of chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul spends a number of verses talking about being rooted in love and being grounded in that love. That is, we are rooted and we are grounded in that love. the fruit of truth is something that people will want to take. That's something that they're going to take a bite of, because fruit's not for the tree. Mm-hmm. Fruit's for the people that come around the tree and partake of it. And so as we are rooted in that love, the extent of the truth that we're able to give out isn't done in a way that people desire it. They will ingest it in their life so they can have what they have need of. Mm-hmm. But to think that it's just all love and not having the truth, mm-hmm. I thought you brought that out beautifully.
Praise God, yes. So, you know, with this speaking the truth in love, the first point that I liked made was this command of Paul was to practice among God's people, first of all. And the second point was speaking the truth in love, not speaking the truth without love, nor just the love without the truth. And then the last point, the third point that I'd like to make today, if the truth is spoken to you in love for the sake of your spiritual growth, we must receive it well. One of my favorite authors, Winky Pratney, he said that one of the most neglected God's command by his people today is to receive correction. And this reminded me of this story of encounter with Jesus with this young rich ruler. He came up to Jesus and asked, "Master, what do I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked at him and spoke this truth about him. And unless you forsake your possession and you cannot come and follow after me. And it's an astonishing story and with this young rich man. But the most beautiful things to me was before Jesus spoke this truth to this young man, I believe it is that the author of Mark, he said that Jesus actually looked at this young ruler, a young rich man, and loved him and then spoke the truth. But however, this young rich man just walked away sad because he couldn't receive this truth that was spoken by Jesus in love. And that's something that we today as a Christian, we need to practice. It's to me, it's not just to speak the truth in love, but we need to receive this well so that we can grow and be rooted and become more like Christ. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 says, "They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke." Proverbs 3, verse 12, he says, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father, the son in whom he delights." Proverbs 5:12, "And I say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction." Proverbs 10, verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. And I can go on and on with this list of importance of correction, but my favorite was the Proverbs 12, verse 1. He says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." And I don't want my Almighty God call me as a stupid. I want to be wise and receive correction when these things are spoken in love. And I want to receive it well so that I can become more like Jesus. And we must remember for what purpose the word of God, first and foremost, was given to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So when it's not just a speaking the truth in love, but we must receive it well as a follower of Christ.
Yeah, I don't know that our American culture sets us up well to receive truth. We've got this whole premise that we have this right to pursue, this right to happiness. And so anything that's going to come in the way of that, we're going to fight. That's the American way. It may not have been the Japanese way, but certainly was the American way. And so it breeds this sense of independence that causes us to push people away and to say, no, that's not, I'm not going to listen to you because I've decided this. But there is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I like what you said. None of us really want to be in that place where we're considered stupid in the eyes of the Lord. I think a big part of that, and as we grow in wisdom, is to recognize that there are people around us who will not take truth, no matter how much you love. And it doesn't mean that you stop loving, mm-hmm. but you become certainly more strategic when you're giving that truth, because the proverb talks about a reaction that comes. The fool, he will take it and hurt you with the truth that you give them. Mm-hmm. And so there's this growing and knowing who we're to give truth to. But I think even the bigger part, in our world of everyone spouting off their truth on all sorts of social media, is we need to understand that that there are people in our life that we give the right to speak truth. And it isn't just everybody, mm-hmm. but it's people that we can see that they're rooted and grounded in love. Mm-hmm. And so their motive isn't to prop themselves up. Their motive isn't to manipulate through guilt, but their motive is what I love just how you said this, is that they love that you're going to have a better future, mm-hmm. that they desire that your future is better than your past. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the body of Christ should mm-hmm. operate, that even as Jesus says to his disciples, as I have loved you, mm-hmm. so love one another. That's right. And when we are able to be well-rounded in that love, grounded in that love of mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, it really does allow us to love others. Yeah. And so we just take a moment, just pray over everyone that's heard this, and just ask the Lord to just help them really not just speak truth and love, mm-hmm. but receive truth and love as well.
Yes, Pastor. Father, we just come to you and we're just so grateful because you are the truth, God, that you sent your son as the truth, not just giving us the truth, all truth, but you, Jesus, came as the truth. And we simply just receive, and we want to abide in this truth. And we pray, God, that we will continue to be in love with you, because you are the truth, and help us just not to proclaim the truth that we think it's true, mm-hmm. but in your word said that you have sent your son who has given us an understanding, and you are the one that is true. Mm-hmm. And we're so grateful, God, that you have set that example, and we, as a follower of Christ, we just follow after your example and imitate you, and simply abiding in you. Because you said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we're so grateful that you are the truth. Mm. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless y'all.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.